to sing my great Redeemer's praise, my great Redeemer's praise.
Hello, dear friend. This is Whitney Doe inviting you to listen to Methodist Hour. We will hear the music of Don Marsh and a timely message from the Bible by John Wolfe. Stay with us and enjoy the next 14 minutes, won't you?
My gracious Master and my God.
Methodist Hour encourages evangelical Christianity as we reach around the world.
The honors of thy name.
Listen to this contemporary praise song, The People of God. Today's message is entitled, Small is Big. Here is Methodist Hour President, the Reverend John Wolfe.
Thank you so much, Whit. The gospel lesson is Mark chapter 9, verses 38 through 41. John said to Jesus, Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us. But Jesus said, Do not stop him. For no one who does a deed of power in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us. For truly I tell you, whoever gets you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ, will by no means lose the reward. Amen. You know, I try to imagine what I would write down as important if I were a person like Mark, our gospel writer for today. Now just think of it. Mark has written material that has lasted for 2,000 years and who knows how many thousand years after this. He has taught us about Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. We know about the healing of blind people. We know about the feeding of thousands of people with practically nothing except a few fish and a little bread. We know about the transfiguration and the whole drama of the crucifixion and the resurrection. But now I call those things big, don't you? I mean, those are big things. The biggest for me is feeding the 5,000s, of course. Wouldn't it be incredible to be out there on that hillside and see all of those hungry people eating with just a few loaves of barley bread and a couple of fish and still have plenty left over to fill the baskets? You know, there are really some big things recorded. And after all of this, it is the Holy Scripture. And I guess, wouldn't you expect that the things in it are to be big things? Now, don't misunderstand what I'm trying to say. As I read the lesson for today, I had to take a double look. Remember those words, listen again? Whoever gives you a cup of water because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose the reward. A cup of water. Such a small thing. It must have gotten into the scriptures on the coattails of some big miraculous healing or changing water into wine or something. But you see, these words for today are written after the resurrection. Mark has added some material that is teaching the church how to live as Christians. If they had been written down before the resurrection, we would not be reading the phrase, because you bear the name of Christ. You see, Jesus would never let anyone call him that until after the resurrection. Well, in any case, all we're talking about here is a small cup, and then, in those days, a cup of warm water, given to a little child or possibly one of the disciples. Now, I know it sounds like a very nice and pleasant thing to do, but why would it be included in the same list for the foundation of the practices of the church? Let's think about it. Maybe we can see it, that it's not there by accident. I remember I was just finishing basic training at Fort Benning, Georgia. It was August in South Georgia, and it had rained once in 8 weeks. The ground was hard and hot, and the grass was brown in most places, and we had been marching all night, and after a brief rest, it was right after daybreak. We just kept walking, and finally at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, some of the trainees had passed out from heat exhaustion, and they had been evacuated to the hospital. Now, I can't describe to you how thirsty we were. When we came to our campsite, the water bags were in place, and we rushed to them. We just about trampled each other to find that refreshment. And as I waited not so patiently in line, I heard some of the men in front of me complaining about the taste of the water. I remember my friend Monty. He said, "I'll drink anything as long as it's wet." Well, almost anything. We filled our canteens and began to drink the cool water, and it was terrible. It tasted salty. Finally, our sergeant told us that they had put salt in it on purpose because the hot humidity was so terrible and the weather was so hot. And when weather in South Georgia like that causes persons to sweat profusely, and we needed to have our salt replaced quickly or run the risk of passing out of heat stroke. Now, would you agree that there's nothing quite like a cup of cool water when you're really, I mean really thirsty? No soft drink or anything else can quench your thirst like a fresh cup of water. Now, remember, Jesus lived in a very arid part of the world. There were no minute markets along the way to get a cold drink. There were no sport drinks, none of that. Most of his transportation was by foot in the hot sun. Jesus knew the value of the cup of cool water, and everyone who heard him knew it. Now, most of us can find a cup of water even if we're in the military. But we must ask, what is the principle of faith for you and me in this text? Hear these words. I remember so clearly. Her name was Melissa Gibson, and she worked for the company AirTouch. It's a paging company. Now it's Verizon. But I called the AirTouch office that day because I lost my electronic pager. Now, for a minister, that's a big thing. It's one of those gadgets that wherever you are, you can put it on your belt and you get messages, and I can call my office, and sometimes it's so critical. Well, the AirTouch office is on a back street, and it's way far from where I live, and Melissa realized that I didn't have any idea where to get to her office, so I called with great care to find out how to get there, and she gave me such patient accuracy to get to her office. Well, when I arrived, I was still kind of frustrated. I'd lost my pager in a church, and now I had to buy another one so that I could work in the church, and well, to my chagrin, I discovered that pagers were not as simple as they were 5 years ago when I first bought it. As I read the list of options and the coordinating costs, my level of confusion went over the top. I mean, I thought I'd just order a pager and that'd be it. I didn't even know what to tell her I wanted. Now, she knew I was thirsty. She asked me a few questions and marked them down. And what she did was actually save me money, and she gave me numerous benefits that I didn't even know about. Now, I want you to know that that her office was filled with people like me who wanted everything from car phones to information. It was about 4:30, and she closed at 5 o'clock. Two other agents were assisting, but it was easy to tell that 5 o'clock would come and go long before we all could be helped. And I began to apologize for taking so much time. Then she said, "Now, Reverend Wolf, you are the most important thing that I have to do right now, and we're not leaving until you feel satisfied with what you're doing." You know, Had I been spending a great deal of money, I could have expected lots of attention. But I was already a customer, and I was spending $12 a month. I could feel the sincerity in her voice, and her attention to the work was, well, it was uncommon. It was so significant that I could not forget it. Now, to me, it was like getting a cup of cool water on a hot afternoon. John Frame and I were in Elk, Poland. John was former president of Methodist Hour, great guy, and anyway, it happened to be on one of those mission trips, and it was his birthday. And we were thousands of miles away from home, and we were really homesick. And that night, when we came back to the Polish pastor's home, his wife had prepared a delicious dinner for us. And after dinner, Pastor Norieski invited us into his small living room. In a few minutes, his wife Elizabeth and their two children came proudly walking into the room with a birthday cake, and they sang happy birthday to John. Now, I know it's just a silly thing, a small thing, no bigger than a few ounces of water. But for John, it was an act of uncommon care and compassion. We're not even sure how they knew it was his birthday. Now, is it possible that our Lord is teaching us that while there are some big things that we must do, like salvation and all of that, there are also some very small things that are of great importance in the work of the kingdom? Can you imagine a birthday cake in a faraway place being worthy of the remembrance of God in the kingdom of God? You know, Ruth and Ed, both are with the Lord now, but I remember them. They had been married over 50 years. Ed was always strong, great golfer, and he was just great, even in his 70s, he was strong. And his wife, Ruthie, was so devoted. I mean, they were just always together. Well, that night when I went into the intensive care room and I saw this strong man, now 80-something, completely helpless. His only kidney had failed, and he was alive but totally dependent upon every breath from the ventilator, and it wouldn't be long. Well, Ruth was there at his side. She began to caress his forehead. "I love you," she said. And she looked at me and she said, "I know he can hear me. He just can't talk with that thing in his mouth." Her words were so gentle. She described the flowers outside his window and talked about the things that they would do when he came home. In a few minutes, I saw her take a small sponge full of water, and she began to caress his parched lips. They were split. There was just a second or two that I saw a smile on his countenance. Now, I didn't hear it for myself, but I'm sure she did. I'm sure she heard it when he said, "I thirst." Lord of us all, you took time to create the mountains and the rivers and the oceans, and you created the heavens and the earth, and you created all things, big and small. Could it be that even a sip of cool water on parched lips would be remembered in your kingdom? Amen.
John Wolfe, I know you've got another message. Share your word with us now.
Thank you very much. You know, I wish I had a lot of answers today, but I've been struggling in my prayer time with just how to pray for and to minister to the families who are mourning the death of loved ones as a result of these mass shootings in our streets. People are wounded. It's hurting. When it's happening in some other place in the world, you know, it can be easy to just kind of change channels. But the truth is that no matter where it happens, God's priceless children are being killed or wounded, and people are just grieving so hard. I wish it was as simple as making a new law or voting for the right person, but you and I know that deep inside it's a matter of the heart. Wounded people tend to wound others with their pain. By wounded, I mean persons for whom the world does not seem to care. You know, I've interviewed a lot of men and women in prisons and find that, well, I can tell you this, friends, if you knew their stories, you'd wonder how they could still be alive. Hurting people need to know that there is hope, real hope. At Methodist Hour, we do our best to share the scriptures and to tell the stories of persons who have found hope on their journey. But you, dear listener, have the best chance of helping someone find Christ. I've learned that the best way to witness is to just tell my story, not try to change someone. You can't change someone, but let the story do the work. Jesus always taught with stories, and you can do the same. The witness is in your story, and you are the story. Our website is MethodistHourInternational.com, MethodistHourInternational.com, or look for us on Facebook at Methodist Hour International, or call me direct, 678-488-2162. God bless you in your ministry as you tell your story. Amen.
Yeah.
And now until next week, this is your producer and host, Whitney Doe, praying that the good news will always be yours. And may the Lord bless you and keep you.